Good morning. I'm Robert Kramer. I'm chairman of the board of the Family Leader, and I appreciate you guys taking the time to come out and hear us today. The Family Leader believes that God has created three institutions: the institution of the family, the institution of government, and the institution of family, the government, and now I'm pulling a Ted Cruz moment. No, it's a Rick Perry moment. So the church, the institution of the church, the institution of the family, and the institution of the government. And the Family Leader tries to help in all three of those areas. We're doing things to help families, to help churches, and to help in our government. And we're especially blessed here in the United States to have a government where we can have such input as we the people. Well, we at the Family Leader, we took a lot of effort in coming to consensus on looking through these presidential candidates in a process that started last year and culminated here in the last couple of weeks as we were getting together as a board and making a decision. We were unanimous as we came to that decision, and also decided to do, though, that we had a choice. Either the Family Leader as an organization could be a standard bearer or try to act as a kingmaker. And we were unanimous in deciding that we would be a standard bearer. And that means that we would set the standard of what we think a Christian statesman should be, and we would see which candidates kind of met that standard. And if you came to our event there at the forum several weeks ago, you saw a lot of those candidates that meet that standard. Well, then the next step is the board said, we're going to be unanimous to allow myself as board chair, Bob Vanderplaats and Chuck Hurley, they released us to go and endorse a candidate as individuals. So we have come out here today to do that. I'm going to now turn it over to Chuck Hurley, who can explain the process of exactly how we got there. Chuck.
Thanks, Robert, and thanks to the board, many of whom are here today, for releasing us to do this. The board did not direct us who to endorse, but they wholeheartedly encouraged us to consider endorsing as private individuals. I'm going to read portions of a statement that you can go to our website, thefamilyleader.com, and see in its entirety. The ministry of the Family Leader has grown in recent years to encompass far more than elections and candidates, especially with the growing global impact of the IF 714 call to prayer for revival. Our focus is on transforming culture, strengthening families, and inspiring Christ-like leadership. Our work with pastors and churches has grown as well, and it is critical that none of our ministry efforts be seen as being co-opted by a partisan agenda. For these reasons and others, our board unanimously decided that the Family Leader needs to remain a standard bearer for Christian principles in our culture and government, as Robert just shared with you. Especially in this year and this cycle, with so many good candidates who are championing Christian values in the civic arena, the Family Leader wants to assure all of our friends and ministry supporters that no money given to the ministry of the Family Leader will be used to favor one good candidate to the detriment of any other good candidate. Nonetheless, the process of coming to this decision was very difficult, especially in the wake of the disappointing 2012 election. In both 2008 and 2012, Christians and constitutional conservatives divided their support among various candidates. Recent history has shown that with Christian conservatives divided, the nation's political parties nominate candidates who do not champion our values. It is therefore our hope and fervent prayer that 2016 will be different, that most, if not all, Christians in Iowa and around the country will avoid dividing into factions that fight against instead of alongside one another. The Family Leader board and staff has been in earnest prayer, and over many months and meetings has been asking God to intervene as he did in guiding Samuel to choose David in 1 Samuel 16. Our hope is that now as then, though many candidates exhibit admirable qualities, God would say, neither has the Lord chosen this one, and raise up instead a single standard bearer around whom Christian voters can unite. To that end, the board has also unanimously encouraged its leaders, especially Bob Board Chair Robert and myself, to apply our personal influence to encourage Christian voters toward uniting behind a single candidate who then hopefully can unite other fine candidates and public servants in a dynamic team. The board fully supports our decision to make personal endorsements, and while recognizing it is more important for the organization to be a standard bearer and steward of its resources to honor the intent of the donors who might disagree with a particular choice or endorsement. I'd like to introduce my boss, Bob Vanderplaats, as he shares with you his endorsement for 2016.
Thank you, Chuck, and thank you, Robert. I don't think it comes to any surprise to anyone that the board of the family leader, the team of the family leader, we take this role very, very serious. And so much like Ronald Reagan said in 1979 when he was launching his presidential campaign, he said, "I believe this country hungers and thirsts for a spiritual revival." And our board really believes that's where this country is at today, is that we hunger and we thirst for a spiritual revival. And that is our focus through the IF 714 initiative. As Chuck Hurley said, and as Robert Kramer said, they'll be joining me in this individual endorsement. Also, our pastor to the board, Bill Tweet, who is here as well. Bill Tweet will be joining with us in this endorsement as well. And when we endorse as individuals, as we've done in the past, we will be all in for that particular candidate. That being said, we do not place our hope in any candidate. But we place our hope in God, and hopefully for a candidate that's completely yielded to God and with a heart for spiritual revival. We say often at the family leader that we live in extraordinary times, and it demands extraordinary leadership. You take a look at the times today, whether it's on the foreign front, and you see ISIS, and you see Iran, you see the deals with China as well as Russia. There's a lot of things to be concerned about today around the globe. But also domestically, we take a look at a U.S. Supreme Court that has undefined God's institution for marriage and for family and has put religious liberty at great risk because of its decisions. We live in extraordinary times that demand extraordinary leadership. You add to that we have a deficit today of $19 trillion in debt and a Congress that has virtually no respect by the American citizens. We need an extraordinary leader today. And that's why we focus at the family leader on a vision of a revived America that honors God and blesses people. It is strengthened through our mission that says we want to strengthen families by inspiring Christ-like leadership in the church, in the home, and in government. And that leads us to our focus. And our focus is we want to see cultural transformation. We want to impact elections, we want to influence policy, and we want to be a credible model for others to follow. That's what we do at the Family Leader. As we assess this field, we applied four C's. Character. Can we trust the individual? Do they show a consistency of convictions? Competent. Are they competent? Can they be the chief executive of the United States? Because we've seen what incompetent gets us. But are they competent? Three is the company that they keep. Who's whispering in their ears? Who's advising them on policy? We take a look at their teams. And then if several of them meet that, and several of them in this field did meet that, we then take a look at resources. We take a look at what we say is cash, but resources is what kind of infrastructure do they have in Iowa? What kind of infrastructure in New Hampshire, South Carolina, the SEC primary? What kind of infrastructure do they have that they can go the distance and become the nominee to be the standard bearer that we sure hope for? We have a great field. If you would have told me going into this that Governor Walker, Governor Perry, Governor Jindal, three great governors who we respect immensely would no longer be in this race, it would definitely show you the quality of this field. You take a look at outside candidates like Donald Trump, and like Carly Fiorina, and like Dr. Ben Carson, and what they brought to this race, and tapping into the American sentiment that it can no longer be politics as usual. We have serious issues at stake, and we need serious leadership, and they've been a great value to this race. You also take a look at senators, whether it be Rubio and Rand Paul, and what they brought, especially when they constantly, if you saw at the forum, constantly brought the focus back to the family, and the strength of the family is the strength of this country. And then you have two former caucus winners, Mike Huckabee in 2008, Rick Santorum in 2012, two very, very dear friends who we love deeply. But for whatever reason, the dynamics are such that today that it seems like people are moving on and they're looking, saying, what is that fresh? What is that bold? What is that courageous leadership? And I happen to believe that the extraordinary leader that we need for these extraordinary times is U.S. Senator Ted Cruz. And we will be uniting as Pastor Bill Tweet, as Chuck Hurley, as Board Chair Robert Kramer, and myself, and we will be going all in for Senator Ted Cruz. We have found him as a man of deep character, a man that we can fully trust, who has a consistency of convictions, who loves his God, who loves his spouse, and who loves his family. We also see him to be very, very competent. Not always popular, but very competent. He has challenged both sides of the aisle. He understands what it's going to take to get the country out of the mess that we're currently in. We believe he's exceptionally competent, and that adds to his extraordinary leadership. But we've also been very impressed by the campaign staff that he has assembled, the people that he's put around him, the advisors. These are people that want to make a difference for this country and to right the ship, and we can't wait to go to work with them. But we've also taken a look at the resources of Senator Ted Cruz. As you've seen in the polls, he's beginning to rise. But not only will he be very, very strong here in Iowa, we believe he'll be strong in the early states, and we believe he can be the nominee to take on and to defeat Hillary Clinton and the leftist agenda. So we're thrilled here today to announce our choice for President of the United States, U.S. Senator Ted Cruz. With that, let me open it up for any questions that you might have. Well, that would be other candidates' decision first. But probably to the other point, Kay, that you mentioned, our goal is to unite conservatives around Senator Ted Cruz. And I believe you're starting to see that happen already in the state of Iowa, but I also believe around the country. One of the jobs I'm going to take very, very seriously is to coalesce people here in the state of Iowa around Senator Ted Cruz, but also around the country, the peers that are in our network across the country to say, how can we coalesce around U.S. Senator Ted Cruz? We have believed for a long time, if we're united, we will win. If we're divided, we're going to repeat 2008 and 2012. Well, what I suggested to Chuck Hurley, Robert Kramer, Bill Tweet, and myself is when we make an endorsement, our goal is to make that endorsement stick. Our goal is not to just be another name on a letterhead. And so if the Cruz campaign desires our help, and I believe they will, we will do whatever it takes to help him be successful, to be the standard bearer that goes up against Hillary Clinton, to win the presidency, to right the ship for this country. Yes, sir. That's a great question. Absolutely not. There is no quid pro quo here. Matter of fact, I think the Cruz campaign is probably as surprised as anybody. I shouldn't say surprised, but they're probably really glad they get the endorsement. But there was no negotiations on anything else that would be monetary or otherwise for the campaign for our endorsement. I did. I had really good visits with U.S. Senator Santorum yesterday and Governor Mike Huckabee this morning, as well as businessman Donald Trump yesterday as well. What I can say to you, and the others, I'll be having visits with others as well. But what I can say about those three, they are exceptional. They're class acts. I'm sure they're going to continue to run vigorous campaigns. I would expect nothing less out of them. Disappointed probably in our decision. But yet they also understand what we have put into this, and I think they respect the process that we use to achieve this decision. Well, we're going to encourage conservatives to coalesce, but that's going to be up to Governor Huckabee and to Senator Santorum or anybody else if they should exit the race. Yes, ma'am. First of all, I'm not sure what his comments were, and I'd probably reserve a comment on that until I have a chance to take a look at it. Anybody else? No. Yeah, the organization, the Family Leader, is not all in. The organization, the Family Leader, is all out. they believe we have several great candidates. They want to be a standard bearer, not a kingmaker. There will be no resources, whether my time or Chuck's time or anybody else's time or any other resources, excuse me, that will go to promote a candidate. Excuse me. Our board has agreed. Our board, as Robert said, was unanimous regarding being a standard bearer. They're unanimous in releasing us to endorse. And had the organization wanted to endorse, they would have been unanimous with one abstention for U.S. Senator Ted Cruz. So our board is very united. We had a board meeting that was preliminary where we did get a feel for where everybody was at, but nothing was confirmed till this past Monday, December 7. And that's where I said the board would have been unanimous with one abstention. And the one abstention was he has a very close relationship with one of the presidential candidates, and we honored that. We are going to have a conversation after this press conference, and my guess is we're going to put some meat to a skeleton to say how can we best be used in Iowa and especially in the early states and around the country. The first time I heard about U.S. Senator Ted Cruz is when he had the stunning upset victory for U.S. Senate over Lieutenant Governor Dewhurst. And it was after that time where I was in Washington, D.C. for, I'm not even sure what, but for meetings. And I asked to see Senator Ted Cruz. I wanted to meet him. And I met him in the basement of one of the U.S. Senate buildings and around boxes. And I thought, this guy is a guy that truly loves the country and has for a long time, who's exceptionally capable and talented. A lot of people like to say they're the smartest person in the room. I thought Ted Cruz might be the smartest person in the room. And he's a serious leader for serious times. And he is one that I think has the ability to win people over. He's showing that. He has a certain likability about him. And he also has a certain where he casts, I'm very capable to get this job done. And I think people want capable today. It was yesterday afternoon when I spoke with Mr. Trump, and Mr. Trump said, you know, he was disappointed, but he still considers me a dear friend, as I consider him a dear friend. And I told Mr. Trump, I said, he has brought a lot of value to this race. Matter of fact, this race is completely different because of Mr. Trump. And some people may say for better or for worse, but he's brought a lot of value to this race as well. So We had a good visit. We will remain friends, as I'm sure Governor Huckabee and Rick Santorum and others will remain friends as well. Everybody wants what's best for the country. You know, I probably don't want to do a press conference for Mr. Trump. I'll let him remark on those. But again, I think what it shows, and I think I'd probably yield to Senator Cruz, who said those remarks don't represent him or his campaign. But I do think it does reflect the seriousness of the American people. They are very concerned about who's in this country right now. But you also have to balance that with our grasp and our commitment to religious liberty as well. Well, first of all, I think in 2008 and in 2012, Iowans made the right choice. I think Governor Huckabee would have been a much better candidate than John McCain. I think Rick Santorum would have been a much better candidate than Mitt Romney. So I'd say Iowa got it right. The country probably got it wrong. This time, I really believe I'm seeing leaders already that I'm visiting with that are ready to coalesce and unite around Senator Ted Cruz. I also see the infrastructure that Senator Cruz has, the resources that he has to be able to go the distance. I really believe and expect Senator Ted Cruz to be the nominee in 2016. With that said, thank you guys for coming out, and I'll be hanging around here a little bit before leaving. Thank you.